When you have eaten and are satisfied. An appropriate verse after Christmas festivities, and yet a challenge to us, as I hope we find out. That verse was in Deuteronomy, and I've taken it from that chapter 8. As we anticipate the new year, we face it with fear and trepidation, don't we? We can't see, we don't have 20/20 vision, as it were. But with God, there's no uncertainty at all. And he will do his best for us. He will give us what is best, which is sometimes different to what we want. When we go through difficult times, through hard times, there are times when we are mindful to pray. When we are in plenty, everything going along fine, then we're mindful to forget to pray, to celebrate what we think is our just deserts, our own success, and we deserve the fruits of it. This passage here in Deuteronomy and later on in Ephesians, this passage speaks to us. It speaks into the unknown. It speaks into the future. And it's something to say to us about the risks in times of hardship. They're difficult times in various ways. But it also speaks about the dangers in times of blessing. So let's have a look. God requires full obedience. God requires full obedience. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. It says there that we need to be careful. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today. Be careful. Parents, have you ever said that to your kids? I'm sure you have, when they go out and feel a lot better because you've told them now. But I remember once my mum saying, be careful. I used to sight it through Sheffield, and she used to say, be careful of those tram lines. Those are not the current tram lines, they're the previous lot of tram lines that they ripped up years ago. That you don't get your bike wheel in the tram lines. Be careful. And God here is saying, be careful. Be fully persuaded that obedience to God is the right way you are going to pursue. Be careful to follow every command. Will you always keep to God's path? Well, we intend to, but sadly we fail, don't we? But here we're told to be careful. And yeah, we sometimes stumble, we sometimes fall. But let's keep in that general direction, always aiming to keep in God's will, doing what he says. But when we read Deuteronomy here, and we read the Old Testament of Leviticus and so on, does it mean literally every law of God has got to be obeyed? I ask you, can we eat pork? Do we have priests who give animal sacrifices? No, we don't, do we? The ceremonial law has passed. It's been superseded. Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That sacrifice, that once and for all sacrifice has been made. And there's no reason to have animal sacrifices. We can eat pork joyfully if you happen to like pork. But the moral law still stands. The moral law, the Ten Commandments still stands. The commandments that are in two divisions. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about that in Matthew 22. When the Pharisees got together and thought, yeah, go on, we'll test him. We'll ask him which is the greatest commandment. And Jesus replied to them. In Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first commandment. In other words, the first four commandments. Shall I have no other gods before me, no idols. You don't take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All relating to God, our worship of God, our living for God. But then Jesus went on, the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. And there we have the last six commandments relating to our relationships to one another, how we behave, honour your father and your mother, and so on and so forth. The last six commandments. Total obedience. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the lands the Lord your God promised you on oath to your forefathers. Be careful, friends, to follow God's way, to do God's will. But secondly, the dangers in adversity, verses 2 to 5. Adversity, difficulties, times of hardship, difficult situations and circumstances are not to be sought out. We're not masochists at all. We don't have to seek out difficulties, do we? They just come our way in the course of our lives. Somebody once said, if you haven't had any difficulties in life, you haven't lived long enough yet, because they naturally come our way, and they come from different directions, surprises to us. Remember, he says in verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert. Remember, the Lord has taken you through this place. Remember, he is leading you now. But there is a saying, isn't there, that we sometimes say, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, yeah? Well, it wasn't so with the children of Israel. Speaking to the children of Israel here, they didn't keep going. In fact, we read in Exodus chapters 16 and 17, that the children of Israel in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in the land of Egypt. What a way, what a grumbling people they were. God had provided for them in the desert. God was leading them in the desert. And yet, though the tough going was tough, they grumbled. And they went on further. But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled. Then they said, is the Lord among us or not? Hard times. Do we grumble in hard times? Do we grumble in this way? Is the Lord with us or not? Maybe we say, well, we deserve better than this. Whatever this might be. God isn't fair. Allowing us to go through these hardships, these difficulties. Or do we, as we should do, turn to God in repentance and in prayer, quietly trusting him to do all things well. Give thanks with a grateful heart is one of the choruses, and so we should, even through the hardships and difficulties of life, trusting that God is good all the time, holding on to his promises to meet all our needs. Quietly accepting the hard times as God's purposes for us, giving us lessons from a loving Heavenly Father. Lord, what would you have me learn in this situation? Help me through, dear Lord. The dangers in adversity. The dangers too in affluence. material things, wealth, life going easy, life going well. Some of us can't handle hardships, and there's some that can't handle the material blessings of affluence. And some struggle in both situations. They find it hard as they ricochet from one extreme to the other. At the end of this year, we need to give thanks to God for his bountiful provision. God has been good to us, no matter what the difficulties might have been. God is indeed good. God is a God of variety. I remember some time ago looking at my tea on the table. Joan's a good cook, and I just thought, wow, what differences in colour. What a variety of colours there are, and textures and so on. And then you eat it and you find variety in tastes as well. God is good. Just in the ordinary things of life we can enjoy. But we should give thanks at all times, acknowledging that he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we sometimes think then, don't we, when we're in affluence, that the money in our pockets is our just dessert for our own hard work. Well, I suppose it is, as you work for an employer. But who gifted you that you might do that job? Who gave you the ability to get the job in the first place? It comes from God, doesn't it? Who is it that keeps the food chain moving in order to provide for us? Yeah, I know you went to Tesco's or the Co-op or wherever you did to buy your food, but it's the Lord that's providing. And we may be tempted, as it says in verse 17, as Jonathan read to us, that you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. That's the temptation that we have. When we were on holiday in Wales, earlier in the year, we went to a church in Cardiff. And for the children's talk, they had a children's video. And it was harvest time. And it was a cartoon character, probably children would tell me who they were, I've long since forgotten. The little lad enjoyed his bread at breakfast and he wanted to thank his mum for it, so he went and thanked his mum for the bread. Said, well, don't thank me, I only got it from the corner shop, Mr. Jones, whatever he was called. And so he said, I'll go and thank him. So he went to the corner shop and thanked Mr. Jones for selling the bread. Mr. Jones says, well, don't thank me, thank the van driver who delivered it. And so on, it goes on. Van driver, the baker, the miller, and the farmer. And he got to the farmer, and the farmer says, well, all I do is I plough the fields and I sow the seed. And then it's God that makes it grow. It's God who sends the sunshine. It's God who sends the rain. It's God who performs that miracle of life coming out of this dead seed. Give thanks to God, and so should we. Let's cultivate, shall we, a spirit of thankfulness. Thankfulness to one another, yes, but ultimately to God for all his blessings. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Verse 10. But then a warning. Be careful, in verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and decrees I am giving you. Again, it's here, be careful, be careful. Be careful of falling into the trap of thinking you are self-sufficient by failing to keep God's commands, laws and decrees. That's forgetting God. Having a disregard for God when you think that you're self-sufficient and it's your just deserts. You're failing to respect God as God. In verses 12 to 14 in this chapter, we have the dangers of affluence. Affluence, when you have plenty, you're in a very dangerous position. The devil will tempt you. He'll tempt you if you listen, and you'll become proud, and then you'll forget God. In that situation, we need to go back to basics and remember God's goodness to us in the past. Verse 15, He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. God has blessed you in the past, and here you are forgetting Him. We're in a dangerous situation, in a situation of affluence. Remember, verse 18, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant which He swore to you, your forefathers, as it is today. He gave you the ability to produce that wealth that you're rejoicing in. And we are not self-sufficient people here this morning. We're dependent on our Heavenly Father. His daily, His moment by moment provision for our needs. His goodness and His mercy. Let's not fail to give thanks. But finally, the dangers of familiarity. Familiarity with our salvation. Familiarity with the things of God. It doesn't just apply to material blessings. It applies too to our spiritual blessings. And that's the reason why we read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. It applies to our walk with the Lord, our Christian life if we're Christian people. Our salvation is all of God. There is a danger in our Christian lives of becoming used to our status as Christians, being used to being Christian people, of taking our salvation for granted. It's the normal. That's me. No, it's not. Of assuming that it's all down to our choices and our decisions that we made, maybe a long time ago, maybe recently. In Ephesians chapter 2, these verses that we read are a great leveller. It brings us down to earth with a bump. And then it takes us up to heaven. It's a brilliant chapter. I love Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. We need to remember the past, where you've come from. We're told in Deuteronomy that was the case. And we're told here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Spiritually speaking, you were a corpse. Not very nice to say that, but that's true. That's the word of God here. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. But you say, no. I looked to Jesus and was saved. No, you didn't. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. You say, no, I made a choice to follow Jesus. No, you didn't. It says here, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Oh, no, I turned to Jesus. No, you didn't. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. It's Him that made us alive. Verses 4 and 5. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by faith you have been saved. God has shown Christians His mercy. He hasn't left us to our own devices. Our own devices, we were dead. But it's Him that's given us faith. It's him that's made us alive in Christ. And he's given us life, and he's given us a status. Verses 6 and 7 tell us, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Yeah, it's him that's given us a status. We've got a place in heaven, the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, hang on, I'm still here. Yeah, but you've got a place there. One of our grandsons is looking for universities, and one university has given him an unconditional place. That's your place, they say. Provided you put us first in your choice. I don't think he'll go there. But he's got a place. He's not there yet, but he's got a place that he can go to. And it's the same with us. We're not there yet, but we've got a place that is ours in heaven, reserved for us. He's given us life and he's given us a status. And we're saved by grace. So there's no boasting. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. We're on a level playing field because it's all of grace. Verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. And this is not from yourselves. That faith is a gift from God. He even gave you the ability to have faith in him. Not by works, we can't do anything to earn our salvation. So that no one can boast. There's no boasting that we've done the right thing. We made a good choice. No, you can't. God took you through that process. For what purpose? Well, verse 10 tells us, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We were singing of that in the hymn just gone. Somebody said to me a while ago, I don't like that hymn. It says that there's only work that I can do. That's not the case. Well, let's say, have you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10? And he tells us, yeah. Do you know why you're here? Because God's got work for you to do. And only you can do that which he's given you to do. What a privilege of serving God uniquely in whatever role he's given you. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Barnabas was called a good man in the New Testament. And oh, that people would say that, yeah, we are good people, doing good works in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his strength and to his glory. Because that's what God would have you do. So if we are Christians here this morning, let's remember that we had no part to play in our salvation. It's all of grace. Therefore, there's no scope for boasting. And our service for him is the work that God has ordained for us to do. It's not earning or adding to our salvation. It's done simply out of a loving obedience to God and his command. So to draw things together, let us never lose sight of what God has done for us. Let us never move away from the foot of the cross, total dependence on God and his salvation. Let us never grow out of it. Someone once said to a student that went home full of the gospel, rejoicing in it, older sister said to him, Oh, I used to be like you, but I grew out of it. Let's never grow out of our thrill of the gospel, friends. Cooper's hymn says, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word?" Let's never lose sight of what God has done for us. Let's be ever so grateful for our food, yes, and all the material blessings that we so easily enjoy, but thankful primarily for our salvation in Christ Jesus, that greatest gift, that unspeakable gift. And at the outset of a new year, let's seek to live in obedience to God in our lives, day by day. In adversity, maintaining a thankful spirit and a quiet rest in the knowledge that God does all things well. In affluence, not forgetting the giver of every good and perfect gift. In our walk with God, in our personal and our church life, recognizing our total dependence on God for our salvation and for our spiritual growth, and being thankful for all his many mercies. Amen.